Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Teron Davenport. Our training camp report's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the All Things Basement and Company, the Trenches Shop Gallery and Boutique, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's newest barbershop on wheels. You have control of the time and place. Book your appointment at thecuttruckmobile.org. And our good friend Teron Davenport, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, what's going on, brother? How's that Florida sunshine treating you down there?
Hey, man, it's treating me really well, man. I just got done my little run along the Riverwalk, man, just sitting here looking at the water, just loving life, man. Young, pretty, hitting hard, talking to you guys. What could be better?
That's right. It's a great day to be Teron Davenport. Every day, a great day to be Teron Davenport. So, TD, obviously, a couple of intense practices for the Titans against the Buccaneers the last couple of days. As you factor in the whole picture, and we'll get a little bit more detailed here in just a few minutes, but anything in particular stand out? What were your big takeaways for the Titans through a couple of days of practice against Tampa Bay?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me from a defensive standpoint was the way that they adjusted to the tempo of the way Tom Brady practices, as far as like in team and 7-on-7. They're in and out of the huddle, quick, 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 quick. And I like the way they were able to communicate. I mean, obviously there were some breakdowns, but they still, like, they had to expedite that communication process. And that's something I talked to Kevin Byard about. And he said that he was, you know, pleased with being able to test that. So that's something that stood out. And then just the, you know, the receivers that the Bucs have, man. You know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Tyler Johnson, Jalen Darden, these guys, Antonio Brown, they were all really given a nice test for the corners, you know, especially the young ones, and Caleb Farley. So it was good to see him go against one of the best and Mike Evans. So those are some things that I pulled. O-line and D-line, you know, those guys were battling. Wasn't really a win for either side, but it was impressive just seeing those guys go at it.
Yeah, TD, I mean, I think it was your video, right? The Farley against Evans on the first day.
Yeah.
Great rep from Farley, where he's kind of stumbles, or you know, he's behind a little bit. He catches up and finds the ball, turns his head around, you know, makes a play. And as you know, like especially like just one on one, that's, I mean, the receiver should win that, you know, every time.
Right.
You know, the quarterback and receiver should win it. But that just seems like great work for him, and it sounds like he was humbled a little bit yesterday. But what do you think about just what you're seeing from him overall, and do you think it is realistic that maybe he could be out there Saturday, you know, making some tackles and take the next step toward getting ready?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a possibility that he could be out there. I asked Coach Vrabel about that, but he kind of gave kind of like a ho-hum, we'll see type of answer, whereas last week he said specifically that he wasn't ready. So, I mean, there's progress in the answers, but, you know, for me, when I watch Farley, what I would like to see him do is kind of shoot that inside hand a little bit more. So that way, because what I saw a couple times, receivers were getting him on slants, and what they would do is give him an outside move, and he would kind of open up and be ready to run with them down the field. That's what he seems to love to do, showcase that speed he has. But I think what he needs to do is shoot that inside hand to jam that inside shoulder. So that way the receiver can't – it makes it harder for him to bring it back inside. And when the receiver does that, what Farley does is rely on that speed turn where you see him quickly turn back around. But anytime you turn around, even though he has elite athleticism, you still – or you're going to lose a step. So I would like to see him defend that slant a little bit better. But, I mean, the guy finds the football really well. He doesn't give up on plays if he's beat at the line of scrimmage. He has that tremendous makeup speed. So once he gets it all together, man, he's going to be an issue. He's going to be tough for receivers to go against, and I'm looking forward to watching that.
TD, obviously a lot of conversation this week surrounding Des Fitzpatrick. What were kind of your takeaways from him in these couple of practices against Tampa Bay, and how much playing time do you think he could or should get tomorrow in the game against the Bucs coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, he had an okay day yesterday. He made a couple plays in one-on-ones. He actually caught a pass during team period as well. There were a couple times where Coach Vrabel seemed to be upset with him on one-on-ones where he's like, you know, that's a wasted rep. But I think it's just still an uphill battle for Des Fitzpatrick. And I think what we see on Saturday is going to kind of tell us where they are with him, because it's almost like, okay, we want him to play himself into a groove, right, so we can keep him, or we want to not allow him to showcase himself so we could tuck him. I think that's kind of like the mindset that – the two approaches that they could take. So we'll see what happens. I personally think he should play. You need to give him every chance possible to, you know, be somewhat productive and show you something, especially after trading up to get him and taking him in the fourth round.
Okay, so you're saying you think if he doesn't play much, you think that – because I know with some guys, certainly, that obviously means, okay, this is someone we don't want to expose to be hurt or whatever. Because I could see, like, if he doesn't play much, it almost even being the other way, like, they're just down on him. I mean, although I would be surprised if that was the case, just because, like you said, I mean, they traded up to get him, his fourth-round pick. They really need him to get moving, right? Like, I'd be stunned if he doesn't play a lot Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if he doesn't play a lot. I was just saying, if they chose to go that route, in my opinion, it would be because they're trying to tuck him, you know, and sneak him onto the practice squad. But I don't see
how
he makes it to the practice squad, just because, I mean, the guy was a fourth-round pick, and there were other teams that seemed to have wanted him. So I don't think there's any way that they could sneak him onto there. But, I mean, crazier things have happened. You know, at the end of the day, it's just something has to start clicking for him. I think they need to allow him to focus in on one position rather than working at multiple ones, because it just seems like, because he's had trouble getting lined up at times, you know, in the right spot, and he's just not playing fast. And I think when you aren't processing everything well and you're thinking too much, that's what happens.
If Fitzpatrick and Racy McMath were both cut and exposed, who do you think would be more likely to be grabbed for someone else's active roster?
I would say Fitzpatrick. I would say, just because of the, you know, the higher draft status. But then at the same time, you know, there's a lot of you know, height, weight, speed there with McMath. But I think Fitzpatrick would be the one that because he has, you know, he produced at Louisville.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was at the Senior Bowl, and McMath was there too. But I mean, he was more notable at the Senior Bowl. So I think for sure it would be Fitzpatrick.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, TD, with that in mind, a couple of practices under the belt for the Titans. Now the game comes. What are a couple of things you're looking for tomorrow night for the Titans in terms of maybe some position battles, or just what's going to catch your eye tomorrow for the Titans as they take on the Bucs in the actual game?
I want to see who plays in the secondary. You know, if they play the rookies, I want to see how they go against, you know, some of the Bucs' reserve receivers. I mean, you got some good ones there in Tyler Johnson, Jalen Darden. You know, so there will be good opportunities for them to make some plays and do some things. So I'm going to be looking at that. I want to see Chester Rogers in the return game, see how that progresses, if he could pop another, you know, nice return. That's really about it, man, just the reserve corners and the return game. But, I mean, there's a lot to watch, obviously. But for me, those would be the focal points.
What do you think – how do you think it's shaping out at safety, TD? You know, obviously, there's been so much movement at that position. Dane Cruikshank continues to just, you know, have injuries. Matias Farley, I think, has helped himself. But, like, how do you see that shaping up behind Byard and Hooker?
Yeah, well, Farley, he was out. Matias Farley, he was out these last couple of days. So that definitely, you know, kind of put a freeze to his momentum. I think you're going to see Elijah Molden get some snaps at safety, to be honest with you. And it's funny because I say, hey, you know, give Fitzpatrick less. Now I'm saying give Molden more. But I think it's just like a difference as far as the player, the prospect's concerned. So you can see that. It's the same Tedder Thompson got hurt, you know, so that kind of messed stuff up. But, you know, they have a whole bunch of guys that just rotate in there, man.
And I don't know how that thing's going to fall out. But I think Elijah Molden's going to get some significant snaps there at safety.
Mm. TD, what can we find this week on the latest edition of Talking with TD on the podcast?
Yeah, well, I just kind of emptied the clip of practice notes from Wednesday. We did that, and then Chris Sanders and I run TMC. We actually got into Des Fitzpatrick a little bit, just talked some of the things that needs to happen and what could possibly be going on with him. And then we got John Ledyard from Pewter Report, which is one of the major outlets covering the Bucks down here. We talked some shop, got his perspective on Bud Dupree. He actually came here from Pittsburgh, and he covered Bud Dupree the first 2 or 3 years of his career, so we got some unique insight there. So just talking shop, man. That's pretty much what it is.
Yep, and you can check that out on the latest edition of Talking with TD on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We've tweeted that link out as well at 1025 The Game on Twitter. TD, great stuff, man. We've enjoyed your coverage down there in Tampa Bay. Have fun the rest of the day, and looking forward to your coverage tomorrow as well.
Appreciate it. You guys take it easy. And if you get a chance, check out the Marcus Johnson piece that I put up earlier this week, man. It's a pretty good, in-depth post about his history and everything. It's a really unique story.
Absolutely. Check that out at ESPN.com. TD joins us every Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. And our training camp reports presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the All Things Basementing Company, the Trenches Shop Gallery and Boutique, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's newest barbershop on wheels. You have control of the time and place. Book your appointment at thecuttruckmobile.org. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what TD had to say there. Get your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Teron Davenport for joining us in the last segment. Joe, I thought his thoughts on Des Fitzpatrick.
Words are hard.
Yes, they are. Thought his thoughts on Des were pretty interesting in terms of what the playing time could mean. I think they should play him. I think they should give him an extended look tomorrow. But if they don't, and he doesn't play much, maybe doesn't play at all, depending on what happens in the game, what does that tell you about where the Titans sit on Des Fitzpatrick right now?
Well, and that's the thing. I didn't get what he was saying, but I see. So, in other words, you know what? He's definitely not going to be on this active roster, but we picked him in the fourth round, and we'd like to develop him and work with him, and we still think at some point, you know, he could be a player for us. So let's pretend – let's hope everybody forgets that he exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to know.
Try to sneak him on the practice squad.
Yeah, like how often has that happened? I have no doubt it's happened. I can't think of like a great example. If anybody out there has one, let me know. But I mean, I get it. But I think also, as TD said, it's not like people don't know who he is, where he went. He was at the Senior Bowl. He played and produced a lot at Louisville. So you certainly would be at risk there of someone else grabbing him. You know, just some teams, I mean, it's amazing to say this about the Titans relative to other teams. Some teams don't have all the good receivers that the Titans have. But that's where they are right now.
Yeah.
So I guess I would be surprised if Mike Vrabel doesn't say, okay, work through this. You know, just one way or the other, work through this. Either try to earn a spot on this team or show that you shouldn't be on the team. And, I mean, I guess if he gets a lot of the game and doesn't show anything, you could flip it around and say, well, other teams are looking at that and saying, nah, I don't know about that guy.
Well, what if Vrabel's already seen enough? Like, I think, you know, we were talking about Johnson and Rodgers. Like, you've probably already seen enough from those two guys where they're on the team. What if you're Vrabel, you've already seen enough from Fitzpatrick that you're like, all right, he's not going to be able to help us this year?
Oh, I think you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and look, realistically, for an NFL team, you hope you feel good about your fifth receiver, and you may still not see that guy if things go well for you, because your primary, you know, three, four are healthy and playing. But I don't think there's any question that in terms of performance or potential to help this team, he's behind certainly six guys, if not eight guys right now.
Yeah.
So anything can happen. I mean, yeah, Dylan Radun's a great example, great recent example of a rookie in camp starting to figure things out. But at this point, it's not just because of Fitzpatrick's struggles. It's, again, because of those guys. Every single day, Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers get it done. Look like pros who run routes really well, catch the ball, have speed. Westbrook Akina has been good. I mean, he's been good most days, and I think especially he was quiet early in camp, but he's really come on. And then we know who's at the top of the depth chart. So I think he knows he's – it's really more of a John Robinson conundrum, really.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line. Dennis texting in. Back in the day, they tried to sneak LeGarrette Blount on the practice squad. That did not work.
Right.
It's true.
There you go. There's a good example. Yep. Yeah. And it did not work. Well, that's the thing.
He also played very well in the preseason. So that's kind of a different story. Like if Des Fitzpatrick if he goes out and plays well, then that's going to hurt your chances to try to sneak him through the practice squad.
But also,
right now, that seems like a far cry at this point.
So maybe, like, in this situation, you know, Robinson might be like, let's just hope they don't take him from us.
Yeah.
But if you're, if you're Vrabel, if you're Rob Moore, if you're Todd Downing, you're like, I want to see this kid, like, you know, take steps, make strides, go out and work through it. I mean, we invested something in him, and this is the time to show it. It happens sometimes in preseason games. Young guys, figure it out, catch fire, and confidence is – this is what Todd Downing said at the beginning of camp. People were talking about Firkser and all, tight end one and whatever Byard said. What did Byard say? He might be better than Delaney, or might be right up there with like Delaney Walker, Johnny Smith. Right?
Top-tier tight end.
But the what Downing's quote was is confidence is a powerful thing, and it's so true. And he's got that air about him now that he expects to make plays. And it's just it's constantly underrated, even though it's talked about a lot, because it's more important than most people realize.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Logan texting in. Stephon Diggs was a fifth-round pick, right? Doesn't mean that Fitzpatrick is done. Stephon Diggs was a fifth-round pick. Now, Stephon Diggs also had 84 targets and 52 catches his first year in the league.
Yeah.
And Stephon, I can't imagine that.
Like his first camp, it was like, oh, man, what a pick.
Yeah, how'd he get to the fifth round? Yeah.
That's not what's happening with Des Fitzpatrick right now.
Right now what's happening with Des Fitzpatrick is why in the world was he selected in the fourth round?
Right.
Now, again, it's early. He could turn it around. And to TD's point in the last segment, it's not like Fitzpatrick wasn't good at Louisville. Played well. He was productive. Played well in the Senior Bowl as well. But it's just not worked out so far. And I think confidence is a big part of it. I mean, it's not gone well. And then over the course of the last week or so, the dropsies have started to creep in there as well. And it's not a place you want to be if you're a wide receiver battling for a job.
Right. And so just like confidence is a powerful thing, so you're out there, you're seeing these guys who are just flat out better than you. They're just way better than you at being a receiver in the NFL. And then you start hearing about it, and Vrabel's asked about you, and he's saying it's got to get a lot better. And then you're focused on all these things, and then all of a sudden, a little bit of loss of focus on the field, and you start dropping the ball. And it can snowball both ways.
Austin from Clarksville texting in, why are all the Bucs stars playing in practice and the Titans aren't? Injuries, mostly.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. I mean, injuries other than, like, Derrick Henry.
Right.
And I suppose
there's no benefit to having him out there.
And maybe A.J. Brown. I mean, I guess you could say, well, gosh, Mike Evans and those guys are out there. Why isn't A.J. Brown? I think A.J. Brown has been on the bike some days. If you're on the bike, that means there is something that you are dealing with. I don't think it's anything major, but Derrick Henry would be, I think, the only absolute, like, just not going to have him out there. And honestly,
needs to have Derrick Henry out there.
Yeah. And I mean, because again, it's part of why that position is what it is. You just take punishment.
Yep.
And he's going to take a lot and deliver a lot this year, so why do it? But, yeah, mostly guys are, I think, for the most part, not serious injuries, but enough to not be out there right now.
Ron on the Titans. on the text line talking Titans. How good does the Titans selecting Trey Smith in the fourth round look right now? Forget the fourth round. What about the sixth round? How good would that look?
Yeah.
You talked about not having a whole lot of depth in the interior right now on the offensive line. I know a guy that could help.
It wouldn't solve their center issue right now.
It would not.
But, yeah, they'd feel better about their depth there. And, again, you know, Saffold down the road, you know, that'd be a pretty good tandem, Trey Smith and Nate Davis.
Not bad. Meanwhile, he's going to start in Kansas City for the next 10 years. That'll be fun.
Yep.
Chris texting in, when is the next roster cut? When is the next roster cut for the Titans?
That is a good question.
That is a good question.
I can figure this out. It's so different now because they don't have these big cutdowns. It's like five guys and then five more. You know, it used to be like bigger before you get to 53. But I can tell you this very soon as you hear me typing on my computer.
Yes.
Okay, so you had the 24th will be the next one. So that will be
Tuesday. Yep.
So Tuesday will be another cut down.
And then I think final cuts are the week after that. Maybe the 31st.
Yeah, August 31st is the 53 deadline. Yep. So there's still going to be a lot of guys on the roster, you know, for the last preseason game next Saturday. And then there'll be, well, I guess that'll be 3 days after that you'll get to 53. And then you'll have that at 53. It'll be interesting because you'll have like
a week and a half to practice.
Yeah, long time to practice with that 53. And by then, you would hope that some Julio Jones would be out there, a little Ben Jones.
Maybe the Titans have their offense on the field by that
Joneses, point. The Joneses, the Davises, Nate.
Yeah.
I think he's the only Davis.
I think he's formerly Corey Davis. But that top 100 player has moved on to.
That's right. To be a top 100 player somewhere else.
We'll come back. We will continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got the final opportunity for you to join our Fantasy Football League coming up at 8:45.
Did you notice that Michelle just trolled you?
Yeah, it's the Beatles.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. So that's the Beatles where I can get people saying, like that's old, like, yeah.
You know, each time we play a Beatles song, there's some excuse from Rex Road of how it's not good. But I understand it's not good. It's what people say.
Oh, no.
And we move on to something else.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah.
But that's like an example of like one of the four songs you've heard from them that makes you, you know,
I thought you didn't
them.
Know it was the Beatles at first when I played it.
Oh, no, I was aware.
And I said in Rex Road's ear, I don't think he knows it's the Beatles because he didn't say anything.
I was aware.
Maybe he actually loves the Beatles.
Secretly.
Yes. It's what I'm going to do next week on vacation. Just listen to the Beatles all week long.
It's not a bad idea, man.
See what happens on that front. Anyway, your opportunity to join our Fantasy Football League for the final time, final opportunity, coming up in about 10 minutes at 8:45. So looking forward to that trivia question coming up next.
Do we have a question?
No, we need to come up with one.
Oh, wow. Got to come up with one on the fly.
Oh, we've done that much every day, and it's gone pretty well.
I thought yesterday's was going to be super difficult, and people crushed it.
They did. Very impressed with the dressage responses yesterday.
I think we should try to go as obscure as possible for the
final
last
spot.
Don't you?
Yeah.
All right. We'll come up with something.
We've been pretty good on the fly coming up with these questions. So got that coming up again at 8:45.
We don't want a Gus and Quinn all over it.
Yes, we don't. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texting in, what's the over-under on how many games Julio Jones plays this year for the Titans? Talked a lot about Julio Jones. He's not been on the field since, I think, like August the 1st or 2nd, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's been a long time since Julio Jones has been on the field. What's the over-under that you'd like to set on Julio Jones and the games he'll play for the Titans this year? Keeping in mind, Joe, 17 games this year for the Titans.
Well, how many seasons in Atlanta did he play the whole year but then barely practiced?
Quite a few.
Yeah. So I would set the over-under pretty high. I mean, I wouldn't look at this and say, oh, man, he's going to miss 8 games this year. He's not seriously hurt right now. I mean, I'll tell you that just from watching him walk around the place. So
14 and a half.
That's your over-under?
Over-under. 14 and a half.
I think that's a pretty good one.
I mean, he's like, played, let's go through each year of his career, the number of games played. 13, 16, 5, 15, 16, 14, 16, 16, 15, 9. I mean, he's typically made it 15 games or more.
He had the 1 year early.
Yeah.
And then obviously last year he had the hammy. When, by all accounts from Atlanta, he probably played in a couple he shouldn't have. Trying to come back maybe a little early from that. That's so difficult with hamstrings because it's like, yeah, everything's fine. It's been fine for 2 weeks, and then immediately you strain it like right when you get out there. I think 14 and a half is a pretty good one. I think that's about right. A couple games, three games.
Yeah. Well, and look, you can never sit like
– You never know.
You never know what's going to happen. Like, you're not going to sit Derrick Henry's over at 16 and a half just because he's not had any injury concerns in his career. But, 15 and a half, somewhere around there for Derrick Henry.
Right. I mean,
all it takes is one hit, buddy, in this league.
Exactly. I mean, based on history, it'd be super high.
Yeah. And so, Julio Jones is, look, he's 32.
Same thing. Right, but that's the problem. Last year, but I would not read into now as a reason to lower it.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line. Austin from Clarksville texting in. What does Joe think about Jared's take on his article about Pruitt?
Yeah, we've already – the Bobo article?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that –
By the way, Jared Stillman joining us at 9 o'clock today on the show.
Yeah, so we can bat that around too. I mean, I think I understand the idea of last coach stunk, this coach is great. But, again, these are high school coaches. They were just talking about their experiences. I mean, everybody rips Butch. But we had a coach who said Butch was fantastic, right? I mean, everybody rips James Franklin. Well, I don't know if everybody rips James Franklin, but a lot of people rip James Franklin. According to these high school coaches, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they still think about the guy a decade later. So
the coach at Penn State.
Whatever that guy's name was, I love that guy. I mean, I think, look, the obvious difference, it's not as simple as, I mean, these aren't necessarily Tennessee fans either, or people involved with UT. They are high school coaches who have their own experiences. One of them had a very bad experience with Pruitt, and some of his kids had bad experiences with Pruitt, so he talked about it. But I think it's pretty obvious that Pruitt looked at the state of Tennessee like, okay, if there's someone good enough, great, but I don't need to, like, make it this big thing where, it's so important to have relationships with all these coaches and stuff. Personally, I think it is important. I just think it's building goodwill, and you just never know who may have all of a sudden this player who you never know when the University School of Jackson is going to have the number one player in the country.
It's a very similar approach that Derek Dooley took, very similar, which is not the company you want to be in terms of recruiting at Tennessee.
Now, there's a huge difference between those two guys in overall recruiting effectiveness.
Correct.
Huge difference. But so this wasn't just like, oh, bad, new coach, great, bad, last coach, bad. I mean, Heupel is doing the goodwill stuff. There's no doubt about it. If everybody keeps mentioning Alex Golish, that means something. What does it mean with winning? Not necessarily a darn thing. Because the thing is, you can have the best relationships in Tennessee, and you can start flipping it around and get more great players out of Tennessee, and still not going to be enough. So, yeah, Jared, again, like, simplified something way down and dumbed it down and was wrong, but it's usual. It's typical.
Ron on the text line, how many yards do you guys think Derrick Henry will rush for week one and receptions, if any? Is Ron trying to do some like pre-draft fantasy work here? Trying to get us to predict, yards and carries and receptions for Derrick Henry?
I think he is, a little pre-intel. Like, where is Derrick Henry going to be going this year in fantasy drafts? Has anybody know of any drafts? I'm curious.
I mean, I think a lot of that depends on the person drafting. Like, I saw a lot of people taking Mahomes first overall last year, which, hey, whatever. You do whatever you want to do.
Well, it depends on your league scoring, too.
Right. Like, I don't know that he's going to be – he probably won't be the first back taken.
Because PPR leagues, he's not as valuable as a Kamara or a McCaffrey.
But I'd be hard-pressed to say he's making it out of the top 10 in most leagues. Be my guess.
Oh, top 10. My gosh. Yeah.
I would hope. Well, I mean, I think he will make it out of the top 5. But okay. I don't know that so he's going to make it out
in
the top 10.
6-7 range, maybe?
Right, because you got to keep, like, you know, receivers are in there too. I mean, like, it's possible Devonta Adams could catch 130 balls this year. He's probably going to go pretty high.
Yeah. Is he going to be easy to be the number one receiver, won't he?
Oh, yeah.
Brennan in his little kid league, apparently Saquon Barkley went number one. I just didn't ask him where Henry went.
I probably wouldn't do that.
That's wild, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think he's a tremendous talent.
Sure.
But then again, I mean, if you're going to draft me, I mean, McCaffrey got hurt last year too.
Well, look, you're always worried about somebody getting hurt. I mean, you can't draft that way. Like, I wouldn't be scared to death of drafting Christian McCaffrey this year just because he got hurt last year. So there's part of that. Now, Saquon's been hurt a couple times now. I don't know that I would be taking him in the top five.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up free fantasy advice here for people that could be listening in our league.
That's a good point. Yeah, what are we doing here?
Taylor from Fort Campbell texting in. Most leagues I've seen, Henry goes from 5 to 7.
Yeah, that sounds okay. That sounds about right. I mean, he's going to get those touchdowns. He's going to get big numbers. He's not going to help you with the PPR.
Logan also texting in. Jeremy Pruitt enjoying that payout. He was spotted in Yankee Stadium. I think Jeremy Pruitt's a big New York Yankees fan out there.
He doesn't have that payout. They fired him with cause.
Yeah, they did.
So he made it. Was he sitting in the cheap seats? He like
maybe so.
Did he sneak like a sandwich in instead of buying the $11 hot dog?
Bag of chips.
Yeah.
Hey, good for him, man. Hope he enjoys the Yankees games.
Head on over to that Red Lobster in Times Square.
When we come back, we'll have your final opportunity to join our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League coming up next. Make sure you get those texting fingers ready on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Will here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Jared Stillman coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. It'll be the second day in a row Jared Stillman will join us here on the show. Could this be a daily thing, Joe Rex Road? What do you think?
The Stillman Hour? Well, he does the TD Power Hour. We can do the Jared
Brady Hour.
Gus and Quinn Hour.
See if we can work on that.
Don't step in it, Jared.
That's right. Coming up at 9 o'clock. Right now, though, we have your final opportunity to get in on the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. We have given away 9 spots at this point. Is that right? That's not right at all.
We give away seven
spots.
Yeah.
This will be number 8. That's some great math I just did there.
Well, that's okay. Because you got to include Robbie, Rex Road, Brennan Rex Road, and the commish, Konezovic.
That's right. Who has predicted her victory already in this competition.
I like the confidence.
So looking forward to that.
So before you answer this question, make sure that you dare join this fantasy league.
That's right. Now, to question, as we've done for the last 7 days here on the show, you have to answer on the text line. So text in to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What is Joe Rex Road's favorite athlete? Or excuse me, what is probably not the right word. Who? Who?
A person.
It is a person.
He or she is a person.
That's right. Who is Joe Rex Road's favorite athlete of all time? Can you name Joe Rex Road's favorite athlete of all time? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you can correctly guess that, you're going to give yourself a chance to win our last spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. I believe I know the answer to this, but I'm interested to see if the people do.
And this is different from, like, not, you know, for example, like the best athlete I've ever covered or ever seen, but you know, this is a childhood thing.
Right.
Best athlete ever covered or seen, both the same person, Simone Biles. So don't make that your answer. But yeah, we got some good ones already.
Got some texts rolling in now. There was a vote for Lynn Dickey, which is just amazing.
Hey, Lynn Dickey jersey, 1982. Didn't go with much. You know, those Packers colors, you know.
That's right.
They don't go well with, like, your blue tough skins that my mom used to buy me.
Yes.
People of a certain age will know what I'm talking about with tough skins.
That's right.
What are those?
Basically, that's a fair question.
That is a fair
question. Just sort of like, real good play pants, but they're like trousers. I mean, they were sort of like jeans, but they were just like really, I guess they're just really
cargo-y?
Good.
Cargo-y?
Yeah, I mean, they just were like they, I think the whole point was that you won't tear up the knees when you're playing in the sandbox type stuff, I guess. I don't know. Anybody else who has worn tough skins over their underoos, let us know.
Packers sure. jersey, tough skins, and a rat tail.
Oh, no, yeah, no. No rat tail, sadly.
You probably find that combo at Lambeau Field if you really want to. Just go digging a little bit. You'll find some. Yeah. A lot of answers rolling in. Joe, I got to tell
this
you.
This is tough, huh?
I don't know that I've seen a correct answer yet.
Now, here's one that is a wrong answer that I figured would be a common wrong answer.
No, there's a few of those.
Okay.
There's a few of those. But I don't know that I've seen a correct answer roll in yet. Again, the question for the final spot in our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, who is Joe Rex Road's favorite athlete of all time? We've talked about it a few times. Yeah, there's a few of those too. We've talked about this a few times. One vote for Jared the Goose Stillman.
By the way, Chris on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. You could drag a kid behind a truck while wearing tough skins and you wouldn't get a scratch. That's basically it. Like, they were like pants made of like wire scrub brush. I don't even know. And they're just weird colors and, you know, with like my pro kids shoes. I mean, it was quite a sight.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
I'm still not seeing a correct answer.
Wow. No. We finally have stumped people. See, there's a great, we finally stumped people.
Okay.
Oh,
I think
man,
they need another context clue.
I mean, the thing is, if I give any clue,
yeah.
It's going to... I mean, there's some people who are in the right realm. People know, like, that I'm originally from Michigan.
That's about the only hint you can give.
Yeah, roughly my age. There's some guesses that are, like, that go with that.
Sure.
It's just that they haven't gotten... I mean, to me, I think, honestly, one of the most underrated athletes of all time in his sport, in the context of his league, and still very highly regarded, but I still think criminally underrated. And yes, I'm biased as hell, but I got receipts too.
That's right. I think we're starting to get some winners floating in here. I've seen a couple. I didn't see who was first, so I'm gonna have to sort back through this.
Okay.
Starting to get some winners that are floating in. That took a while, though. That was... maybe our toughest one yet that we've had. We saved the toughest question to the last one, Joe Rexrod.
Like there.
Drew is text again with guesses on my own personal text line talking about Mac Jones and or Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts or Mac Jones. Well, Mac Jones may be the new Dan Fouts.
Could be. Dan Fouts was a popular answer on the text line. It is not Dan Fouts. Although.
Hey, he's up there.
He is on the list.
No, I mean, he's absolutely up there. No question about it. There's a lot of response. We have to sort through this.
Yeah, we're going to have to, because there's like 75 text messages coming in at one time, so I might have to sort through that here in a second.
A lot of people who feel like they can hang in this league.
And that is correct.
I like the boldness.
Should we go ahead and reveal the correct answer? Since it's already been won on the text line?
Yes.
The correct answer, Joe Rexroad's favorite athlete of all time, Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas of the Detroit Pistons.
Actually, it was about a year ago, I think, at The Athletic, they asked us to write essays about, like, that, about, like, your favorite athlete. I don't remember if it was phrased exactly like that, but I wrote this huge essay about Isaiah Thomas. But my old show in Michigan, my last day there, they surprised me and got Isaiah on the phone.
Oh, man.
Talk about some Stillman-level fanboying. I was like, you were way better than John Stockton, right? Right? Isaiah, right? Right?
Say yes, Isaiah. We need that audio, Joe. Yeah. You need to find that.
We could probably find it. Yeah. I could probably get that for you if I wanted it to be public.
Yes.
it was pretty awesome that they got him. And his post-playing careers had some rocky moments. But I believe the best basketball player under 6'5" in the history of the game.
Wow, under 6'5".
Like you get into, I think, Oscar Robertson and and beyond.
Yeah, I'm very disrespectful to Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade's a great player. He's not Isaiah Thomas.
You got two D-Wade fans here, Robbie and I.
Three-time champion.
Yeah. I get it. But, I mean, again, Barkley's a zero-time champion.
I'm with you.
Robert Horry's a how many-time champion?
You know. Seven.
I mean, Dwayne Wade is great. I would put him slightly behind Isaiah Thomas on the all-time great players list.
I don't think that's a crazy take.
Yeah, I mean, that's close. I mean, I think they're both top 20 what? Five? Top 20?
Top 25.
But when you start listing out, then you're like,
oh, well, maybe they're not.
Top 30? Yeah. But Isaiah just, most people who love sports have those moments as a kid, people who enthralled them. And, you know, I saw the dude score 16 points in 94 seconds against the Knicks in a playoff game. And as clutch a player in terms of making ridiculous late-game shots as you'll find in the history of the league.
Chris texting in, I just thought the comment that as a kid, Joe perceived Lynn Dickey as Paul Bunyan with a football, that he had to be his favorite athlete.
Hey, let me tell you something. That Christmas morning when I opened up the Lynn Dickey jersey, I did not expect that.
Shane texting in, bro, Isaiah Thomas was not better than Allen Iverson. You sit on a throne of lies.
Oh, God. Don't you throw Iverson at me? Ugh. Iverson scored more.
Yeah. There are a lot of people that think Allen Iverson was better than Dwayne Wade. I'm not one of those people, but
Allen Iverson was great. Was a tremendous talent player, no doubt. But no, he was not as good as Isaiah Thomas. Sorry. He scored more. He was a better shooter. He scored at a higher volume. But that's not what everything's about in this game.
That is correct. Isaiah Thomas. Did you write an article about Isaiah Thomas being your favorite player one time?
Yeah, I just said that.
Oh, did you? I wasn't listening. I thought you were talking about your show.
No, and at the Athletic, I wrote, yeah, last year. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Isaiah averaged like 23 and 14 assists one year, okay? You know, like in the mid, I mean, I know it was the 80s, but like that's still like it's outrageous.
Yeah. Sean texting in, there's no world where Wade is even close to the force that Isaiah Thomas was.
That a boy. That's what I like to hear.
Well, the even close stuff is amazing to me.
I agree. It's all
Dwayne Wade had literally the greatest NBA Finals of all time. Go look it up. Go look at the numbers. Yeah. It's the greatest one in the history of the NBA Finals.
I have nothing.
But yeah, not close to the force Isaiah Thomas was.
I have nothing. Whatever. I have nothing bad to say about Dwayne Wade, but I still love that text. Thank
yes.
you. Makes me feel good inside.
We will sift through all these text messages. We've got a few winners. We have to determine who was first. So we'll get to the bottom of that during the break. We'll let you know. And when we come back, we'll also be joined by Jared Stillman as well. Get his thoughts on the Titans. He's back in town today. Was down in Tampa Bay for the past couple of days of coverage for the Titans and the Bucks. We'll talk to Jared coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.